Jesus Christ. Amen. The portion of Scripture for our meditation this morning is recorded for us in the book of Numbers, chapter 11. This is our first lesson for today, this 19th Sunday after Pentecost. Dear friends of Christ, God had rescued the Israelites and led them away from slavery in Egypt. Well, he did that using the 10 plagues, which culminated in the plague of the death of the firstborn and the Passover, which convinced Pharaoh to let his people go. But the world's most powerful army went chasing after their millions of slaves who had just left. God drowned them in the depths of the Red Sea. Then he led them through a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night to Mount Sinai. And there on Mount Sinai, God dwelled on the top of the mountain in the form of a cloud. He gave the Israelites the Ten Commandments as well as other rules. And there on Mount Sinai, they stayed for almost 1 year. Then they set off again into the wilderness. Chapter 11 shows pretty commonly what the Israelites did during those years in the wilderness. Chapter 11 begins with the Israelites beginning to complain about how hard and how difficult their life was in the wilderness. It was almost better in Egypt. So God sent a fire that started consuming the outskirts of the camp, until they cried out to Moses, and Moses prayed to God, and the fire subsided. But the people still didn't learn their lesson. They began to grumble and complain that they didn't have enough meat, or they didn't have any meat to eat. So they had complained about food earlier, and God had sent them manna, special bread from heaven. He sent this special bread every day of the week so they can have food, except for the Sabbath, but he sent twice as much on Friday so they'd never go without food. But the people complained, "We had better food in Egypt. We can choose from many different kinds of meat in Egypt." And the leaders, the heads of the families, began lining up at the tent of meeting and complaining to Moses about their lot in life. Eventually, all this whining and complaining, all this sinning of the Israelites began to wear down Moses. It began to be a huge burden upon him. So he cried out to the Lord for help. And so the Lord told Moses, "Well, take 70 elders, take some of the leaders of the people, take officials, and have them come before me at the tent of meeting." The Lord was going to place some of the burden off of Moses and onto the people. So Moses told the people, and when the time came for the 70 elders to stand before the tent of meeting, the glory of the Lord came down in that cloud upon the tent and started talking to Moses. And then the Lord took some of His Holy Spirit, He took some of the Spirit, and gave it to the elders. And when they had a portion of the Spirit, they were able to prophesy. He gave them the gift of prophecy, of being able to utter the very words of God. But there are two elders, Eldad and Medad, who for whatever reason weren't at the tent of meeting. The tent of meeting was set outside the camp. Instead, they stood inside the camp. And yet, God still gave to them that gift of prophecy. They were still uttering the very words of God inside the camp. Well, word got to Moses about this. And then Joshua, Moses' right-hand man, who would later lead the people into the promised land, started complaining. "Moses, my Lord," he said, "stop them." Now, why would young Joshua care all that much that Eldad and Medad were prophesying? It's because he was jealous. They weren't at the tent of meeting. They didn't listen to God's word, and yet God gave them this special gift. Perhaps there's a little thought of Joshua, that he had been with Moses the whole time. He had heard all the complaints of the people. He bore some of their weight of their sins and complaints upon himself. He was at the tent of meeting, and yet he wasn't the one of them who was prophesied. He wasn't given this special gift, and so he was jealous that others had this gift and not him. Does the sinful thought and attitude of jealousy and envy dwell in your heart as it did Joshua? Does it dominate and permeate in your heart? The Lord is gracious and generous in his gift of giving. So gracious and so generous that the devil may use that against us. He may use God's very generosity to stir up thoughts of jealousy and envy. Everything you have is a gift from God. All your possessions, everything you own, is a gift given to you from God. You have a house to live in, a bed to sleep in, a car to drive in. Your closet is full of clothes. You have plenty of food to eat whenever you want. You have multiple TVs or computers or smartphones to keep you entertained, to keep you informed. But see, the problem is that you don't have one of those curved 4K TVs like your buddy has. Or you don't have a brand new car like your co-worker. Or you can't afford the mortgage in that house you really want to buy, let alone that cabin up north. Sure, you have an iPhone, but it's an iPhone 6 or maybe even a 5. Not the iPhone 6S Plus that you really want to have. All those clothes in your closet, well, half of them are over a decade old, and it's kind of embarrassing to wear clothes that are that old, you say. You don't always have the newest and the greatest like you like, the newest and the greatest like you see other people have, and so you become jealous. And then you try to figure out a way to scheme or a way to get the things that you think you should have and the things you want to have. But it's not just possessions. God blesses us more than just what we own. Well, God blesses us with gifts and abilities. You're smart. You know lots of things. You're able to learn things relatively easily. Or maybe you know how to make things or fix things. Maybe you're good with children or good with the elderly or good people, person in general, are able to talk to anyone and be anyone's friend. And you have a lot of people who love you and respect you and call you their friend. May be able to do some of those things, but not good as other people. Now, you can make some things, but you can't make a living off of it as your buddy can. You're able to fix some things, but sometimes you get yourself in trouble and it costs you more money. There are things that you know you're good at. And yet there is that one person who's even better at it than you are, plus that other person has many other gifts that you don't have. So you become jealous and envious of the gifts and abilities that other people have that you wish you had. And you only tell yourself, if only God would give me those abilities, I'd be a much better person, or I'd do it much better than anyone else. Or maybe your problem with jealousy and envy is just the opposite. Maybe you know that you have gifts and abilities. You see yourself as talented, as someone who could do a lot of good for others, but you're just not given the opportunity. For whatever reason, no one notices all these gifts and abilities that you have. No one gives you the opportunity to use them. Other people get praise for using their gifts and abilities. Other people have many different ways they show their gifts and abilities, but no one has given you that gift of being able to use their gifts. So you become jealous and envious of the position of others and tell yourself that you could do that just as well, if not better, than anyone else. All you have to need is the chance to do it. You've been a Christian pretty much your whole life. You've always gone to church. You're regular in Bible study. You volunteer at God's house. You strive to obey God's word. No one really gives you recognition for it, and that's fine. You don't do it for recognition. You do it for the Lord. But then there's that one person over there who hasn't really lived like a Christian. Maybe he's lived in sin. He hasn't really attended worship all that much. But now he's turned around. He repented of his sin, and he's starting to come to church every once in a while, and everyone's making a big deal about it. And the only reason they're making a big deal about it is because he was sinning beforehand, where you never did such things. And so you become jealous and envious, like the brother of the prodigal son, that God is so gracious in his forgiveness. You expect jealousy and envy in the hearts of others. But when you look at your life, and when you examine yourself, you realize that this sin, this attitude of jealousy and envy permeates, it dwells within your heart, and sometimes it even dominates your heart. Shows you that you can't defeat this sin, you can't overcome this sin, and that the need for a Savior is a desperate and a serious one. So we do good to look back again about how gracious and generous our Lord is. As we already mentioned, He gives us many possessions. He gives us all our abilities. Everything we have is a gift from God. He has richly blessed you. Why? Well, it's not because you earned or deserved it. Think of the 70 elders. God gave them that gift of prophecy. And why did He give that to them? Well, because the people were complaining and whining that He wasn't taking care of them good enough. So God's response to their sin is to give their elders this gracious gift of prophecy. Or think about Eldad and Medad. They didn't listen to that word of the Lord. They didn't go outside the camp and join the elders at the tent of meeting. They stayed inside the camp. And yet God also gave them that special gift of prophecy. They were able to prophesy. They spoke the very words of God, not because they were so good, not because they had earned or deserved it, but out of God's mercy. And so the Lord deals with us. He is generous and giving to us, giving us many blessings, many possessions and gifts and abilities, not because we have earned or deserved it, not because He's impressed with us, but because He is generous and merciful. And this is especially evident in the gift of His salvation, given to us through another gift of His, the gift of His one and only Son. God sent His only Son, Jesus, into this world. Not to hang out in this world, not just to come down to this world for a while. No, He knew that He was sending His Son to the cross. And on that cross, His Son would become a sinner in our place, taking our sins upon Himself, and so the Father would reject the Son, sending His Son to suffer through the eternal punishment that our sins deserve, forsaking His own Son. God didn't just send His Son away for a month or two like a parent might send their kids to college until Thanksgiving. God sent His Son to hell, to suffer through hell. And God sent His Son to die in our place, for us. And of course, you know the result. Our sins have been paid for. Removed from us so they'll never condemn us. When God looks at us, He sees us as pure, innocent children and declares us not guilty on account of Christ. Our sins have been forgiven. And then 3 days after Jesus died, He rose from the dead. And His resurrection from the dead is a guarantee that we too will rise from the dead, that our bodies will join our souls with our Savior forever. This gift of salvation, this gift of forgiveness of sins and eternal life is the greatest gift of all. It can't be purchased. It can't be won or earned. It is a gift given to us for free by the grace of God, which is received only through faith in Jesus Christ as our one and only Savior. This gift then of salvation is the greatest gift of all. It doesn't matter, then, what other people have or what they have compared to you. There's no reason to be envious or jealous of others, especially when it comes to unbelievers. Oh, they may be rich. Maybe they're powerful. Maybe they have a lot of fun. Maybe they have a lot of friends. They have all those newest and greatest gadgets. But in the end, it doesn't matter. They have something you don't have, faith in Christ, and you will be somewhere where they won't be. You will be in heaven forever. And in the end, that is greater than any amount of gold or silver, any other possession on this earth. The gift of faith and salvation is far better than any other gift or ability we have on the face of this earth. So whether you are rich or poor, you are rich indeed. And what about believers and their gifts? Well, we do good to remember Moses. When Eldad and Medad began to prophesy and Joshua told Moses to stop them, what was Moses' response? He said to Joshua, "Are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put His Spirit on them." Moses realized that God gives us many gracious and varied gifts. All of our gifts and abilities are gifts from God, and we all have different gifts and abilities. God does this so that we can use them together for His glory, for the building of the church, and for the spread of the gospel. So what attitude dominates your heart? At times we must admit that it is an attitude of jealousy and envy. Let us rather instead follow Moses' example and have that attitude of gratitude, that attitude of joy. Thank the Lord that He has given you all the blessings He has. And use those blessings to glorify Him. And then follow Moses' example and pray to the Lord that He would richly and graciously bless others. That He may give them many possessions on this earth. That He may give them many gifts and abilities so that you can work together and that we can all use our gifts and abilities together for the glory of His name, for the spread of His gospel, and for the building up of His church. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.